Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Welcome to the Runner's World podcast with me, Rick Pearson.
Me, Ben Hobson.
And me, Jane Maguire.
So we'd like to talk a little bit about the sad news that legendary runner Ron Hill died aged 82. Hill represented Great Britain in the marathon at the 1964-1972 Olympics. In 1970, he became the first Briton to win the Boston Marathon and won Commonwealth gold the same year. He was also the proud owner of one of the longest run streaks in history, running at least a mile a day for 52 years and 29 days. He later founded a sportswear company, Ron Hill, and he'll be remembered and missed as a true running maverick and pioneer. So, yeah, thinking about Ron Hill and his family and, yeah, what an amazing life he had.
Yeah, absolutely phenomenal. And you just say it right, a pioneer. The tale of Ron is probably quite well known, but it's quite a few things. Like, he meticulously logged all his running in journals for every single run, constantly. And it's way, you know, to the second. It predates any of the sort of modern day incarnations of any of that. You know, we're talking marginal gains at a very sort of like early level. He'd compete in cross country races barefoot decades before that was a trend. You'd like that, Rick. And he ran the 10,000 meters shoeless at the Mexico Olympics. He invented the split short. So everyone, you know, who short shorts and running, like that was Ron Hill. He came back from those Olympics and in like they called the freedom shorts, and they were a shorter version of those that already existed with a split up the side to increase ease of movement, and a string vest, which people might have seen pictures of that over the years of Ron in a string vest, and that was to help airflow and to keep him cool. And it's just things like that he did that, you know, have almost been lost in the sort of ether of running. And we had a feature on Ron in the February issue of the magazine, which has got some great details in it. And one of them was that his son told the story that Ron was the first person ever to import Nike trainers to the UK as part of his Ron Hill business. Yeah, he remembers them being stacked up in the shed. And for all the shoe nerds out there, they were the Nike LDV 1000, and they sold them for £24.99. But it's just these small things about, like, you know, the first person to ever to import Nikes to the UK, Ron Hill. Do you know, it's just these small things that happened that were so important to run in just generally. And they kind of like brings it back to Ron. So, yeah, a super important person for running in this country. So, yeah, sad news.
Today we're talking with Paul Tonkinson about whether his relationship with running has become unhealthy.
So many layers to that one, Rick. So many layers.
So many layers. Yeah, it's a good one, actually. I like the idea of this kind of your relationship with running being something you've got to maintain, and the idea that it can kind of change and adapt through the years.
Oh, I would 100% agree with that. Maybe I'm not talking to the right people, but I don't think I've spoken to anyone who's had just like a constant love. Because mine's always been, I've said this before, mine's always been a bit love-hate. So, and I imagine that there's, you know, real extremes of that. A famous YouTuber whose name I'm not going to remember now, but he is famous, and maybe in the edit afterwards I'll just put in a little note here saying his name was Van Neustadt. He made a video the other day and put it up on his channel, which was about running, and he just laments about it being terrible but absolutely being the best thing for him. So he talks about how he doesn't like it and he runs 4 miles every day, 5 days a week. And the first two are in like pitch black dark as he runs up a hill, and it's torturous, and he doesn't like it, and he doesn't like his clothes that he's wearing, and he finds it all like whatever. And then as he comes back down again, he's sort of, it lifts him up and he feels more positive about the day, and it settles his brain, and he's kind of like back into it. And he runs the whole thing sort of not in that positive about running, but about the benefits of it. It's really like, and I watched it and I was like, this is, that is quite a hot take on the whole thing. Like, it's not necessarily like that it has to be this big love thing, but actually just once you get over the, I mean, I guess the hassle of it, then you're just like, yeah, I mean, this is making me feel better, so why would I stop doing it?
I think it's like a real Instagram reality situation. I think anyone who goes on Instagram is like, oh my God, I'm so sick of everyone smiling and loving running. And anyone who tells you they love every run is a liar. So you should unfollow and block them. No, don't do that. Don't do that. I don't want to ruin anyone's career. But no one loves every run. If you do, then... Well, if you do, you're probably elite. Even then, I don't think they love every run.
I think they probably resent a lot of
unless you're Kipchoge, you don't love every run, because he's the most positive man on the planet.
Even Elliot's
got to hate something about it.
No, I don't think he does. He's such a happy man. He's what we should all be, but none of us are. So I think every runner hates one run.
I think we're going to get an interesting take from Rick here. I think that he probably loves every single run.
I think Rick is closest to the Elliot mindset out of us three.
It's true.
I think that definitely like relationship changing with running. And I can see like some parallels between when you first really get into running and fall in love with it, that kind of how that parallels kind of the start of a romantic relationship where it's this kind of that kind of intensity of feeling towards it. So yeah, and I think in those years, I think I really bored some people with how brilliant I thought running was. I definitely thought it was that everyone should do it. You know, everyone should do it. You know, and you're gonna feel as passionately about running if you only try and do it. And I think I've mellowed a little bit to it, and I kind of think that I'm passionate about people moving around and doing some exercise, but I don't mind as much now. You know what that is. I think it's, you know, if it's walking or cycling or swimming. That's all, you know, just as legitimate. But no, I definitely have a few runs that I don't enjoy, but not a lot. I'll be honest, I think probably like 95% of the runs I go on, I really enjoy.
Like, if I know I have to wake up in the morning and do a run, I'm like, oh. Whereas on the days where I don't have to run, I'm like, okay, great, I can go and take Toby for a walk. He's my dog. And not, so I think I start every run with, I don't want to do this. So there you go. That's a really positive note to begin the podcast on.
That's funny though, because you're sort of following a rough schedule. Day,
yeah, I have to follow a schedule, or I think I would just go and run the same miles at the same pace every single day and live the same day on repeat till the day I die.
Welcome to my life.
So
slowly running a loop every day until my grave.
But I wonder if there's any like. Because that kind of obligation thing that you're expressing.
Yeah, I do know what you mean. I do think when, you know, when I see like a half marathon on my plan, I'm like, why? What am I training for? So maybe I've just got training fatigue and I need to take a break. But I think as soon as I take a break, I'll probably miss it. So I think I'm just a confusing individual. But maybe maybe people listening will be like, I understand what she means. Or people will be like, she's a lunatic.
No, it's one or the other. You crave structure when you haven't got it because you feel like it's all a bit pointless otherwise if you're used to that being the association with running. And then on the flip side, when you start doing it and it's not that way, then you're kind of like, well, why am I bothering? Anyway, let's get our guest of the week on, whose column in the magazine sparked this whole chat. So it's a pleasure to welcome back to the podcast the ever insightful and funny Paul Tonkinson. Guest of the week, here in the studio. Guest of the week, sometimes on the phone. Could be an athlete, could be a physio, or a complete unknown. So you say, Paul, in your latest column that you're worried that you've almost got a kind of abusive relationship with running. Maybe you're taking it for granted. Could you explain a bit more what you mean by that?
Yeah, it was just, I think it was, I think it came halfway through a run where I was just asking too much of it. I was constantly engaging in behaviours that inhibited my ability to run very well. And then I'd go for a run and the run would save me during the run. Do you know what I mean? Like drinking or overeating or whatever. And it always worked. It's, you know, I've started runs fairly hungover. By the end, I'm absolutely fine. This time, for once, it just didn't, you know. And part of that's age, I think, or I've just been eating and drinking a bit too much for a couple of days. I went for a run, and I just never got right during the run. I just started feeling a little bit overweight and not great mentally, and then I finished in exactly the same state. And I realised, as you say, I was just expecting too much of it. It was just interesting to me. It's just, and it is a sort of, we've all got a relationship with our running, haven't we?
Yeah.
And some people, and I've always taken it for granted that running would always be able to fix me or sort me out. And it was just a sort of realisation that I had to at least start meeting it more halfway.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
At least. I mean, I've only just started doing any kind of stretching and strengthening. I'm 51. I've basically just run myself in. It's like I've run myself into the garage, and it's just over. This car's finished. This version of me is no longer operational.
Yeah.
And I need to start looking after myself. And that was the sort of beginning of a long series of wake-up calls, you know. That was basically it.
I've definitely done that. That whole sweat it out thing. Like, you kind of, when you're younger, I was like, oh, I'd sweat it out on a run and you feel great at the end. And I was like, but like, similarly, I don't think I sweat it out enough now. I'll start feeling rubbish, and I kind of get to the end and go, just a bit more tired.
I mean, it's great. It's a great feeling. And running is it's a pure and simple medicine, isn't it? That we all partake of. And I mean, when I was, you know, 16, 17 years old, used to run loads in Yorkshire. I would get a cold and I'd go for a run. Do you know what I mean? I'd wear two or three tracksuits and I'd run myself out of it. I mean, I know carriers in the Heathside who, one guy, we call him the Germinator. He's like late 50s, just constantly running. He'll be running at this moment. He's a doctor, and he got diagnosed with corona, and he went for a run. You know, he was monitoring his oxygen blood levels, and he tried to run it off. Do you know what I mean? We're from that. Runners are from that culture, aren't we? Do you know what I mean? Running fixes everything. It can't fix everything. You know what I mean? And as you get older, you know, weight accumulates easier and it's harder to get rid of. The body just becomes, it's like a big bag of spanners. It's just like everything. You know what I mean? I need to get loose, you know. So I've been doing that. This month's column is actually about me doing yoga.
How's that been?
I found it really, really difficult. I did yoga once about 20 years ago and it was great. And then, of course, I just didn't do it again. Obviously people chatted to me saying, do it. So I'd started doing it. And the first, I did yoga with Adrienne, who everyone's been talking about.
Oh, yeah, I know that one.
That's a good one.
Is it a good one? Do you think that's
Yeah,
good?
I would give her a shout out on the podcast.
Yeah. And I went beginner's level, completely beginner's level. And the first thing Adrian did was invite me to sit down in like classic beginner's pose, cross legs and a straight back. I just couldn't do it. I couldn't get anywhere near it. It's like my quads hurt, my back went into a spasm. I'm like, you know, there's an awful long way to go. You know, there really is. I can see the benefits of it. And I feel that... I feel it could really help my running. Does it help your running? Do you find it?
I think yoga is a bit like running, where you have to find the right one for you. I'm a big fan of yin yoga, where you just hold a pose for like 5 minutes and you don't move out of it. Because I think faster forms of yoga feel a bit too much like a workout, and I'm kind of like, oh, I could just be going for a run. But other people love to kind of feel like their heart rate is going up. So I guess it's finding the type for you.
I think I might be a bit more yin. I mean, I've got no interest.
Yeah.
I don't want to work out. I don't want to feel competitive about it. I just want to get that. I want to change how my body is. I just want to make some profound changes. I want to be able to sit up, you know. So the first, I've got to stretch before I get out of bed on the morning. Do you know what I mean? Before I do my first walk of the day, you know. And I don't know whether this is irreversible or whatever, after years of non-stretching and no strengthening at all. But I'm hopeful that I can just change and just so I can run pain-free. I keep breaking down with injuries, and it's just I just need running. When you can't run, it makes me realise how much I need it, you know.
Yeah, for sure.
I do sink, you know. If I don't run, I sink, definitely.
When would you say then, Paul, that your relationship with running was at its healthiest and happiest when you look back at your life?
Probably, I don't know, there was times early during lockdown when I really, really enjoyed it, when I was running for nothing but pleasure. And I really appreciated just the basic thing of getting out in the woods for an hour a day. I thought it was fantastic. I mean, I loved it when I was aiming for the sub-3 hours marathon because it had a real focus on, and I felt like I was this adventure that I'd created. I think we've all been missing events, haven't we? And some events are coming back, and I'm hoping to get another, maybe a long, maybe do an ultra or whatever. Just get, you gain a lot from an adventure, don't you? Just something to aim at. And I think that can be healthy as well, as long as it doesn't get too obsessive. But even if it gets a bit obsessive, it's quite fun to just get obsessive about stuff, isn't it? It's just quite interesting to just go into that mindset. But yeah, I think during lockdown, I really appreciated it. I felt so grateful.
Yeah, definitely. I think that's why we've talked about it before, but that really was the saving grace of the whole situation. And it really recalibrated without the events and without the running and all the stuff that kind of everyone maybe focused on too much. I would say that like it really gave everyone that position of going, oh, I can go running and it's just really nice.
Yes. That's my basic position, really. I mean, for me, training for events is, I don't do it very often. To me, the fundamental, the basic is always like just an hour a day or an hour five times a week, just really chilling out. But what I enjoyed about lockdown running was seeing everyone else start running as well. I mean, it was just amazing to see just the range of different people running. I mean, some people are obviously trying to outrun Corona. It was like they thought we were going to get it done. They'd realise obesity is a problem, bless them, and they're just, you know what I mean? They're just panicking. And then you saw some people who didn't have any of the gear and were just, and they just looked really natural. You just saw these people thinking, you know, we're all looking forward to park runs coming back and races. I think there's going to be a new breed of runners who might not have thought about running, and they've just come to it. And I think it's fantastic. Obviously, the more people running, the better, but just a huge range of people running I found really gratifying, I must say.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
I mean, I didn't really like it when all the people just started and were immediately better than me. I wasn't that keen on that.
I know, it's graceful.
I had some friends who were like, I've just started doing this, I've just done 5k and I did like 19. Is 19 minutes quite good? Yeah. For it's just like, go away,
get in a van.
That reminds you of the run I did. I was thinking about the other day in Hackney just before lockdown started, and I was getting back to a bit of fitness. I did it in about, it was like, I did it in like 19 minutes, 40 seconds or whatever. So it was nice to get under 20 minutes, and I was really pushing hard. And this guy was constantly ahead of me, pushing a baby pram on the phone, just on the speakerphone, just chatting on the phone. And then he'd see me coming up behind, and then he'd scuttle off again. You know, he did, it must have been like 19, 20 whilst chatting. It was amazing. He was so young and fit and vibrant and bouncy, and I was so old and broken and angry behind him. So yeah, it's no, you're right. Some people are just that's a lot of that's youth, isn't it? Bless, they're just run. They've just got that bounce in their legs, you know.
It's funny, Paul. Like, I guess you were talking about your relationship with running, it being you being the one who needs to bring more to the party. But has there ever been a time in your life where you feel like you've given running almost too much and you haven't got as much back in return.
I'll be honest, no. I've always felt that that sort of basic relation between effort and reward is so, it's quite pure, really. I mean, I've never really suffered from injuries during periods when I haven't really been training for anything, but I've never been, I suppose the example of that, of when you do feel that, is when people train really hard and then get injured. And there's always that, those chance elements, isn't it, of an injury that takes everything away. But I found that just that simple relationship, the more you give, the more you get, is just really, it's just really basic. But as I'm starting to do yoga and stretching and strengthening, really it's part of a negotiation with the fact that I've sort of finally, or at least very close to accepting that I'm never going to get faster again. You know, do you know, it's that sort of re-establishing of a relationship of like, I found being 51 almost harder than being 50, because at 50 there was still the idea that maybe I'll magically, time will reverse itself and I'll go back to being 43 again. But 51, like, no, you're in your 50s. Something's definitely happened. I just feel slower now. I don't know what it is. I just feel that it's going to be really difficult, if not impossible, to do the training necessary to run faster than I used to do. It's like the relationship with running changes of sort of how fast can I run? How fast can my mind force myself to run faster? How fast for my body? And it changes to how fast will my body let me even try to run? Do you know what I mean? That's sort of,
yeah.
And that's what I'm dealing with at the moment. I keep getting this little calf injury. It keeps, even whenever any pace comes back in, I start feeling little twinges, and it's just a different, I'm in the middle of trying to establish a different relationship.
Is it kind of taking the pressure off a bit?
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, I never felt that, all pressure in running self-inflicted anyway, isn't it? I never felt, it's just nice to be able to run fast. It's just a nice feeling, isn't it?
It's a great feeling.
Run as fast as you can and compete and get to the last 200 meters and try and out sprint someone and blah, blah, blah. And just, or even like a long marathon. I mean, to try and run fast for a long marathon, it's such an intense experience to undergo and so sort of transformative and powerful experience. It's, I don't know. I'm just going to have to find pleasure in different ways, but the pressure is self-inflicted, isn't it? I never felt pressure from other people. I've never been on Strava or, although that's all fine, by the way, but I've never felt, the comparison thing is not that big for me. It's the personal level, isn't it? It's fun to just run as fast as you can, you know?
That's interesting. Do you think, I mean, you touched on this, Paul, but like, do you think in some ways that like running was, if we're going to continue the relationship analogy, running treated you too well? Do you think it was kind of almost a bit too forgiving? Your behaviour wasn't being good for years, and now it's only now that it's actually
I think there's a lot in that. I really do. I think the sort of, and I've almost prided myself on being able to abuse my body, and running will be fine. Running will look after me. You know, like I've started, you know, I've done like long runs. I've drank two bottles of wine and then the next day ran 80 miles. You know, I've started very hungover, ran through, and by the end feel I've done, not brilliant, but a lot better, you know. And it's just, you just can't do it. It's almost taking a sort of pig-headed pride in the ability to do that, or sort of celebrated not stretching, or I'm old school. I don't do that touchy toe stuff, you know, yoga mat. Do you know what I mean? It's like, it's that sort of thing, and you've got to and you realise it's a bit like sort of lockdown, really. Everyone's thinking we're coming back to the old normal, the new normal, or whatever. I was constantly trying to find a place of like, I'm going to run fast again. And so I'd get injured, I'd come back, and then quite quickly I'd be ramping it up again. Then I'd get injured again and just never learning. And I feel it's time for a bit of a new beginning. And I am going to have to incorporate stuff. I'm going to have to give something back to running, for running to be essential in my life as I want it to be, you know, definitely. Yeah. It's like it's like flowers for the wife, isn't it? Yoga for the running, you know. It's necessary. It's necessary.
Yeah,
for sure.
What do you think the new beginning looks like? Is it going further? Is it going into triathlon? What's next?
I think, I mean, the thing about triathlon is I once started training for a triathlon and I enjoyed it, but there's just an awful lot of gear with triathlon. And I'm a little bit tight as well. I'm a little bit tight. Do you know what I mean? I don't like doing things. It's awful admission, isn't it? But that's one thing I've always loved about running. It's quite cheap, you know. The way I do it. I'm thinking about longer stuff, longer sort of adventure type ultra-y experiences. I'm curious about those. I'm hopeful that my body can stand up to those sort of things. There's this sort of idea that there'll be more, that, you know, if the idea somewhere in my mind that running's such good fun, and when you go for a run and you run for about 45 minutes, you're feeling great. You feel like I could run forever. There's a curiosity about sort of trying to do that, isn't there? But I'm aware that all my ultra friends tell me how hard it is. I'm aware it's obviously really, really difficult. I think I thought it was like some sort of easy, drifty thing, you know. It's obviously really, really tough.
I blame that on the ultra runners, though, because they always talk about cakes and aid stations and snacks, yeah, totally, and stuff, don't they? They make it sound like a picnic.
Yeah, yeah, totally.
I'm looking at you, Rick. I'm looking at you right there. No,
yeah, and Donna Mee and the atmosphere, like some sort of party that happens over the miles. have you done ultras, mate? So I don't know, Rick.
Yeah, I've done a few, but there are little moments where you feel relatively good, and I think your mind probably remembers those above the terrible moments, like it does for lots of running, right? I guess our like marathon memories are probably much more positive than the reality of the marathon.
Selective.
That whole it's just a picnic and stuff, I think that does get a bit over-egged. It is ultimately really difficult.
I was chatting to Vassos about it, and
he's the worst, man. He makes it sound like the most amazing thing in the world. I mean, I love him. I love that guy to bits, but he is like,
well, he's a bit of the kind of he's constantly slightly comically diminishing his own abilities as well, isn't it? It's just trotting along, and I'm, you know, seventh in the Mont Blanc, whatever it is. he just talk about the bubble, the post ultra bubble, like, you know, when you do a marathon and you feel good for a few days. He talks about that. For the ultra lasting a bit longer, that kind of quite
steam. Yes.
So that interests me. I mean, I like that. I like that idea. Yeah.
He came on the podcast and revealed that he often will just have running shorts underneath his normal clothes, so that he can run at any given moment.
Yeah, he's ready to go.
Yeah, I like that. Yeah,
I really wanted to know how his jeans fit, but I didn't think, I thought that was a personal question. So if you can ask that, Paul, and get back to us.
But I know that I've got a club mate, and he runs about 70 miles a week. He's like, no, he's like 60 years old now, but he like runs for England in the marathon. And he only does like three sort of sessions a week. He does like two quality sessions and then one long run. And the rest of the mileage, he's just running places. He just runs into his college to lecture, or he runs to his girlfriend's house, and you just sort of, there's something about that I really like. It's like when you're a kid and you just run places. He's fully clothed, just sort of running. You know, it's just like he's 60 years old, but and that sort of normalizes it all, doesn't it? As opposed to training, such a big thing. It's just like I just get there a bit faster, so I'll just run. I quite like that. You know,
we're talking a bit about Ron Hill at the top of the episode, Paul, and I guess some of the stuff you're talking about being about that kind of old school training, perhaps kind of pushing through the pain. I feel like he is kind of synonymous with some of those attitudes.
I used to read, I read his biographies, Long Hard Road, Part 1 and 2. I thought they were fantastic. He was such an inspiration to me when I was a kid. And he was sort of that sort of Harrier tradition, sort of inform a bit of my attitude towards running. I mean, he was sort of, you know, pre-Vaporflies, pre-electrolyte drinks, he got served tea during the Commonwealth Games marathon. And just got, I'm drinking tea, you know. It's like, and yet he ran two hours and 9 minutes. He was an exceptional runner. But he does personify, God bless him, that sort of slight refusal to accept pain, doesn't he? That you know, training twice a day, once on Sundays for years, and like running with a broken leg and stuff. So it's a bit hardcore, isn't it? It's a bit bullish, isn't it? Old school bullishness, you know. But what an inspiration he was, you know. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, and an innovator as well. All the gear, all the reflective shorts and the vest and stuff. I mean, on the day, obviously only interesting to me, but on the day he died, I have still got a pair of Ronhill trackies that I constantly, because I'm so tight, can't get rid of them. But I ran in them, and his stuff's good. You know, it lasts and it's good, and you know, and the shorts. I wear his shorts when I'm running marathon. He's very successful. Successful and brilliant bloke. There's not many athletes now in the UK can run a sub-2 marathon. I mean, it was elite, wasn't it? An elite athlete.
Yeah, fortunate enough to meet him once. Actually, at the launch for the Greater Manchester Marathon when they first started that, and it was so nice to meet him because maybe it's just different when we meet a few elites when we're doing bits and pieces, and it seems very formulaic what they're going to do and what they say, and you kind of get a sort of idea that there's a sort of them and us vibe a bit. But sitting down with him to talk about running, and he was just away, just straight away, just regaling a tale, and he made it so, like, it encompassed everything and everyone's experience about running. Then he asked me about if I like marathons, and I said not really. I said I felt I'm a bit big for a marathon, and he shot me down straight away. No, and he told me a tale of name the runner who beat him once, whose name escapes me now, but he told me about him and his size and his weight and how he beat Ron because of this and this, you know. And I was just like, it was such a nice, like, bloke, just really just friendly, and just like wanted to just make running this big journey for everyone. It was so nice.
Yeah, he was very inclusive, wasn't he? Very, very down to earth and very honest in his book as well. His first biography, loads of great pictures and photos of him coming through, and just really basic training, just running just massive mileage and loads of like long reps and just training and just running. Those guys, like Derek Clayton, his peer in Australia, he used to run and intentionally get lost so he'd run further. do you know what I mean? It's crazy. Just crazy.
It's amazing,
just,
yeah.
Bedford doing like 180 mile a week and stuff. He's just proper, old, just mileage, just constant mileage. Yeah, he's great.
Paul, thanks again. Great to chat to you, and looking forward to the next column as well.
Thanks, mate. Take care.
So that brings us to the end of this week's Runners World podcast. Thanks very much to our guest, Paul Tonkinson, and to you, of course, for listening.
You can subscribe to 3 issues of Runners World magazine for just £5. Head over to hearstmagazines.co.uk/runnersworldpodcast to get this exclusive listener offer. Or, even better, just subscribe to 12 issues for the year. And then you don't even have to worry about just getting 3. You can get 12. Perfect.
The Runners World podcast is available on Acast, iTunes, and all your favourite podcast apps. Just search for Runners World UK and click subscribe. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you again next week.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.